Hebrews chapter 9, if you'll turn there. Get right into this. I'll try to get you out here in good order tonight. Hebrews chapter 9, and I'll let you guys work on that just a little bit. There you go. Thank you so much. Hebrews chapter 9, and I want to go over just a little bit of something we went over 2 weeks ago, but I want to give you a different angle on it now. At about a third of the way in, you'll remember some of the things, and about two-thirds of the way, it'll be a little bit new. So let's reiterate just a little bit of something. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, if you would, and stay right with me, and maybe we'll get out of here just a little bit early tonight as we start this new year, but believe me, we'll get that back from you just a little bit later on in the year, too. Hebrews chapter 9, look, if you would, at verse 11, please. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes and heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the what? Say it. Flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your what? Conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats, talked about flesh, or if you would, the actions in the flesh, whereas the blood of Christ goes beyond just the actions and deals with the conscience. Look, if you would, at chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, Old Testament, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices, blood of bulls and goats, which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. But then, for then, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have no more what? Conscience of sin. The New Testament, in the New Testament, the blood of Christ, the Holy Ghost comes into us after the blood of Christ is applied to the doorposts of our houses, if you would. And now the Holy Spirit of God does not just deal with our actions, but He deals with our thoughts and our intents, our desires. Would you agree with that? He deals in our conscience, in our heart, if you would, in our mind. Look at chapter 10, stay with me, and look at verse 22. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart. Brethren, it's not just, if you would, our actions, but it's our thoughts, and it's our intents in our hearts. It's our desire, it's our will. And the Holy Spirit deals with our conscience, if you would. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from and what? Evil conscience. Brethren, would you agree with this? When we're born, we need to be born again. What is that? When we're born automatically with a natural evil conscience. That's part of the fall. Would you agree with that? So we must be born again. Otherwise, people battle that evil conscience all their life long. And the conscience is that which accuses or excuses us. And if you would, it deals with the thoughts and intents of a heart. And he says, let us draw near with a true heart. It's only the Holy Spirit of God that can give us a true heart, where our desires are what we should have, our thoughts are what we should have, and therefore our actions. The statement I made a few weeks ago was this. Some Christians only get to the place in their walk where they deal with their actions. Oh God, clean up my actions. Oh God, clean up this mouth. Oh God, clean this, what these hands want to do. And then, if they grow a little bit more, the Holy Spirit of God says, let's go past the actions, let's deal with the thoughts. And some Christians stop, if you would. Nothing wrong with dealing with the thoughts. But there's an even deeper way, if you would, to get at the root of the tree, the root of the matter, and we can say this, oh God, deal with my desires. Take my desires away. And by the way, may I say this again very, very clearly, you do not have the ability to change your desires. The sooner you get that, the better. The sooner I get that, the better. You have no way of changing your desires. You can battle your thoughts. You can work on your thoughts. You can contain your thoughts. You can say, I don't want to think that anymore, which affects our actions. But you have no way to change your desires outside of the Holy Spirit of God. Would you agree with that? Somebody says, man, I have this desire and I'm sick of it. Ask God to take it away. Ask God to take that desire away, if you would, and purge that and give you a true heart, if you would, and take that evil conscience, the heart, and that which would convict us and change us. Look, if you would, with that me, and look at Hebrews 10 again, and notice verse 16. Verse 16. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws, my rules, my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. The idea is this. He puts the rules, and our conscience accuses us, even at the heart level, even at the desire level, before it ever gets to the action. If somebody has walked with the Lord, and somebody has had their thought life cleaned up and their desires cleaned up, brother, may I say to you, that will clean up their actions. And what we need to do this year, all that we can, is say, oh God, I got this secret sin, I got this secret fault, I got this presumptuous sin, I got this wrong desire. Holy Spirit of God, take that desire and crucify it. Take that desire and get rid of it, please. I can't. And the sooner you acknowledge you can't, the sooner it will happen. If you still think you can and you can get rid of that desire, the Holy Spirit's waiting for you to understand that you can't. That way, when that desire is gone, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. You don't walk around and say, I got rid of that thought and I got rid of that action. No, what you do is you say, the Holy Spirit took the desire that I used to have and He annihilated it, and I couldn't get victory over that thing by myself. But when I turn it over to the Holy Spirit to crucify that desire, now my thought life's different and now my actions are different. Now I don't even think about it anymore and I don't even get close to doing it anymore. Are you with me so far? Look with me, if you would, look at Hebrews chapter 4. Stay with me, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And by the way, if you're a teenager or a young person, start now, start now. Don't let those desires creep in that are against God. Work on them, work on them, work on them, and ask the Holy Spirit to work on them. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter 4. Notice again, if you would, verse 12. Stay right with me, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the deciding asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and here's the key statement, and is, that word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the what? The intents of the heart. The intents speak of our desires, or let me use another word, the intents speak of the will. The will that we have. I want this. I'm will going to do this. And may I say to you, if you ever backslide far enough from away from God, you'll say something like this, I know I'm not supposed to be doing it. I know I shouldn't be doing it. I know it's wrong to be doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And we'll go over that process in our minds. I know it's wrong. I think it's wrong. I'm thinking my thoughts are wrong, but I've got this desire, and Lord, I know it's wrong, but I'm just going to do it anyways. That's our will over His will. Would you agree with that? That's a presumptuous sin. That's presuming on God that we're going to do it no matter what, and even though I'm not supposed to do it, I'm going to do it anyways. But brethren, that comes from the intents and the desires of the heart, and don't get complacent with that. Don't just say, well, you know, God hasn't struck me dead yet, but I'll guarantee you the power of God isn't what it could be in your life. I mean, the marriage isn't what it could be. The family relationship isn't what it could be. The business relationships isn't what it could be. The ministry isn't what it could be. We ought to not get complacent and say, the devil will say this to y'all, and he'll say it to me. Listen, you're never going to get rid of that anyways. Why try? Don't believe that. Don't believe it for a minute. That nothing in this Bible says that. Nothing in this Bible says just roll over, you can't do anything about it. It says that we can be free from the bondage and the dominion of sin. Which means the desires can change. I don't care what the desire is. You say, but I've had it for 50 years. Well, why don't you turn it over to God and keep turning it over? Why don't you fast and pray for about 7 days and ask God to take that desire away? When He takes the desire away, the thoughts clean up, and the actions, we don't even get to the place we act upon it, and it's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ now glorified, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the Holy Ghost given, and the Holy Ghost inside purges our conscience from dead works to serve a living God. And now our conscience and our thought life and our actions and our desires can be clean. Now, the message a few weeks ago was, ask God to take away those bad desires. But wait a minute, there's another side to that. Why don't you ask God to put some good desires in you? Look, if you would, at 1 Peter 2. Stay right with me. And you're going to be surprised a little bit. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. You mean I can pray for God to put desires in me that are good? Yeah. Don't just automatically think, well, once that bad desire is gone, I put... Why not pray about it a little bit and ask Him and realize what He's doing? And then when He does it, you give Him the glory. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and notice verse 2. As newborn babes, next word, desire. Brethren, you know what that is? Desire. Want it. Make it your will. But you can't will it. So what we need to do, circle the word desire and say, you know what, Holy Spirit, please give me that desire for the sincere milk of the word that you may there grow thereby. And by the way, when the Holy Spirit comes in, He automatically brings a desire for His word. It would be like this. If you ever authored a book, if you ever wrote a book, you would want people to read it. Is that right? Well, if you could get inside their brain, you know what you'd say? Read my book. You ought to read my book. It's a wonderful book. I wrote it. It's going to help you. Wouldn't you, if you were an author? If you could, read my book. Here's a copy of my book. This will help you. This will be wonderful. When the Holy Spirit comes in, you know what he says? Read my book. I'm the author of the book. It'll help you. Read my book. It's a wonderful book. And he creates a desire in us to grow through the milk of the Word. But let me make a statement. If you ever backslide away from your Bible and you're not reading on a daily basis, maybe what we ought to do is say, put that desire in my heart to read your Word. Now, Christmas is over. The New Year's over. We're not going on New Year's resolutions. Come on. We're going on life resolutions. And the resolution is, you know, I'm not reading my Bible as much as I should. Holy Spirit, put a desire in me to desire your Word. And the Word of God does a great work. Look, if you were a little further, look at 1 Corinthians 14. Not only do we ask God to take away the bad desires, but we ask God to put in the good desires. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Stay with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There's a few good desires that we can have. I'll give you something practical in a minute. 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 1. Follow after charity. And do what? Say it. Desire spiritual gifts. Well, wait a minute. If I desire spiritual gifts, you know what that means? I desire to work for God. Brethren, let me make a statement to you. You don't desire a spiritual gift and want to be lazy. When we ask for a spiritual gift, it's because we want to act upon it. We want to do something. We want to go to work for God. Lord, put me in the harvest field. Put me out there to labor with Him. Lord, I have the desire. I want to be a soul winner. And give me the gift to be able to communicate Thy Word, have mercy on people, and want to do it. And may I say this to you? New Year, why don't we start right now and say, Lord, help me to have the desire to be a soul winner again this year. You say, wait a minute, brother, I have a hard time with that. I don't like to witness. Doesn't matter if you like it or not. Let me make that statement again. We cannot take away the bad desires, nor can we put inside ourselves the good desires, but we can ask the Holy Spirit of God and Jesus to put into us the good desires. And I think you ought to start out the year, brother and sister, whether you've been a soul winner or not, whether you've had a desire for souls to be saved or not before, why don't you just pray and say, I've never done this before, but I'm asking you to give me the desire of a spiritual gift that wants to go out and be a witness and prophesy of the Word of God. If we all did that at a greater level, we'd have a wonderful year. Because there's joy when we come back after our weeping and sowing that precious seed. There's joy coming back and bringing those sheaves with us. And you say, man, am I going to hear this stuff this year? If you come to this church, you will. Why? We want, it's not so much that we want you, but or yours, but we want you. And we want fruit to abound to your account. Would you agree with that? So the idea is desire spiritual gifts. But when we get those gifts, we've got to use them. We've got to work and go to work. So there's nothing wrong with saying, oh, Lord, I want some gifts. Somebody says, you know, I'm just not good at soul winning. Well, how about discipling? How about teaching somebody the Word of God or helping them along? How about befriending in some way and shepherding? And if you would, being a part of the gathering process. The idea is, oh, I want a spiritual gift. And I think there are too many people asking for gifts, but they don't want to do anything with the gift. When we ask for a gift and when we stir that gift up, it will create a desire in us to work for God. Do something for Him. Would you agree? Look, if you went at 1 Timothy 3, desire the Word, and now we desire spiritual gifts. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, certain desires that we want to ask for. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Again, God creates the desire. I cannot create in myself a desire to study the Word, but God can create that in me. I can yield to the right desires. I cannot create in myself a desire to work for God, but I can desire these spiritual gifts, and the Holy Spirit of God can create that desire, that one, my will becomes His will, and His will is that I work for Him. Is that right? Laborers into the harvest. Stay with me. And by the way, that goes on in the home, our work in the home for God, if you would, in our marriage, in our jobs, in our business. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he does what? He desireth a good work. Brother, this is a desire that deals with responsibility. I mean, somebody says, boy, I want an office. I want to be this. I want to be that. And it's not just a bishop, brother. I think, Brother Josh Braley, where you at? You in here somewhere? Josh, you desire an office. Your office that you're desiring is to be a husband. That's a good thing. Now you're going to work. Yeah, now you're going to go to work, brother. You say, man, I've been working. Oh, no. You think you've been working. Now you're going to work, my friend. Is that right? Yeah, now the responsibility comes, because with the office always comes responsibility. Always. Somebody says, well, I desire to do this office in the church, or I desire to be this. I mean, I desire to be that. I mean, some of you young couples in here just got married last year and everything. Oh, we want a child. You want a new office, a father or mother. I hope you're ready to work. Not just for a few years. I mean for the rest of your life. Hey, when they become 18, 19, or 20, they're still your children. When they're 30, they're still your children. You say, when you have a child, yeah, you work the rest of your life. You say, no, I'm going to have them take care of me. Right. Hang on long enough, that may happen in the last 5 years or so, or 10 years. But the idea is, when we desire an office, we desire a good work, but we desire responsibility, and brother, that brings accountability, because any office that we get, there's an accountability. But brother, it's a wonderful desire to have. Scotty Northcutt just came on staff. He has a desire, and has had a desire for a long time, to be on staff. He wasn't born with that. He wasn't born again with that. It came after he was saved, and after he studied, and after a while, the desire came to want to lead, if you would, to run the responsibility of an office, but with that comes a great accountability, and ask him if he has anything to do. And he's got plenty to do. Why? Because with the responsibility, with that desire, and it's good to desire that, so God can put in our heart to have the right will, if you would, and a will talks about our wants. Would you agree with that? Let me show you a scripture that you may say, oh, that really doesn't apply. Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I think it does apply. I know how most people present it, but I think there's something else maybe to it. I'm not trying to, you know, dig out some little nugget, but look at Luke chapter 2. And Luke chapter 2, and you've heard, I mean, we just come through the Christmas holiday seasons. Look at Luke chapter 2. And notice, if you would, verse 14. I mean, there's an angel, the angel's there praising God, and the heavenly host there and everything, and they're saying this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will towards men. And I understand the idea is, well, good will towards you. But brethren, you know what he brings with him when he's born? The ability to have a good will, to have good desires, to have a will that wants to do right. Before, brethren, we were fallen, we were corrupt, if in such a way that the Holy Spirit of God was not yet given, and they're saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill. You say, no, that means you should be jovial and be happy. Brethren, I think goodwill has to do with this too. He wants our wills, our wants, our desires to be right. He wants us, he wills us to desire heavenly things. Seek ye first the what? The kingdom of God. Set your affections where? On things above. Hey, we're not supposed to be operating after the temporal, but we're supposed to be operating after the eternal. But the temporal is affected. Would you agree with that? The idea is, I want to have, and I want us to have as a church, a good will towards who? Oh, yeah, towards the men. The idea is, no, they're saying, hey, men, everybody be joyous, everybody be glad, everybody have peace and everything like that. I understand that, but God brings with him, as he comes to the earth, the possibility to have good desires. And there's nothing wrong with desiring the right thing. Hey, brother, if you're struggling coming to church, why don't you ask God to put the desire to be with the Christians and with the brethren and not to forsake the assembling of yourself together? I understand we struggle sometimes. Everybody does. But if you've been struggling service after service after service and just barely drag yourself into the service and say, all right, I'm here, why don't you pray for God to change your will? Make it joyous again. Make that desire to want to come to church and sing the songs of Zion and be around the brethren a little bit. And I'll guarantee you this, hey, you might even start liking the brethren a little bit more. And every once in a while, we get something in us that makes us irritated with the brethren. Don't look at me like that doesn't happen to you. You stay in this church 20 years and sooner or later, you get a little irritated with the brethren. Often it's not the brethren. Often it's our will. That needs to be readjusted again. We need to get that walk in the Holy Spirit back again. So we want to come and be amongst the saints. Hey, there are people tonight that are saved, been saved 20, 30 years, and they're not in church tonight. And they used to be independent fundamental Baptists. And they used to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and the midweek service, and they don't come anymore. You know why? They're irritated with the brethren. But there's nothing wrong with the brethren. Nothing wrong that hasn't been with the brethren all the years long. We're still the brethren. We still got our faults and everything. But it's those people sitting at home tonight, irritated with the brethren. They've got the wrong will. They've got the wrong desires. And they're backslid. And they're blaming the brethren. Now, I'm not attacking them. I'm just saying, let's not go there. Why waste our life being out of church? It's a waste. Somebody says, man, I could have stayed home and watched football tonight. Who cares? I mean, really. Watch a little bit of it. Done. I could have been home doing this tonight. Yeah, you could have been home out of the will of God. That's where we could have been. With the wrong will, with the wrong desires, doing the wrong thing, and hopefully, when you stay at home, your conscience bothers you. Why? Because it's against the will, the right desires of God. Would you agree with that? Man, Easter's coming up already. Say, Easter, we just got by Christmas. We're already planning Easter. I hope some of y'all that's been involved in the choir and the music and the orchestra and the drama, I hope you have a desire to do it again. You say, man, I'm burnt out. So go back to God and say, God, I'm burnt out. I'm tired. My desire has faded. My will to do right, actually your will in me to do right has faded. And I need you to revitalize that again. I need you to revive the right desires and will in me again to get going again. Hey, there may be people in here that's a little irritated in your marriage. I knew that would go crying. Because you don't want anybody to know. But there was a fairly good argument in your house over the Christmas holiday. You may have been arguing on your way to church tonight. Why don't you, sir, ask God to reestablish the desire in your heart for the wife that you married? You walked down the aisle with her. You want her. You wanted her then. You were rejoicing in glory to be to God that I got her. She's the perfect one for me. Now, how many years later, and you say, well, you know, I don't know. I just don't know if I love you anymore. Don't you ever say that. That's your will that's a problem. That's the desires of the heart that's a problem. It has nothing to do with love. It has to do with desire. Well, the love of God would create the right desires, wouldn't it? Well, you know, I don't know. I'm that husband of mine, he just got me so irritated. I don't know. I just don't know if I'm affectionate towards him anymore. So ask God to put the desire back in you. Amen? Well, I don't know if I want to. See, there's the problem right there. Wait a minute. When we said I do, that's it. It's not I do for a while. It's I do for a lifetime, which means this. Okay, the desire's not there like it used to be. The will's not there. So I need to go back to God and say, I can't recreate that by myself. I can't go back and look at old scrapbook pictures and say, I love her. 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 Oh, I love her. Oh, I love her. Oh, I gotta love her. Oh, I gotta love her. It's not gonna do it. You better go to the Holy Spirit of God and say, put the right desires in me again for my marriage. We all right with that? That goes with parenting. That goes with friendship. Because please, as soon as you get this, and if you're in your brain out there saying, you know, I don't know if he's right about that we can't create our own desires. You can't. I'm not talking about thoughts. I'm talking about desires. You cannot create your own desires. You cannot take the wrong desires out. Please look up here. And you cannot put the right desires in. The sooner you get to that place to understand that God is the sovereign one that controls what goes on in here. Now, we control our thoughts. We can control what goes in our brains. We can control what goes on our ears. But brethren, you tell me it was your desire to get saved. No man seeketh after God. No, not one. That's what the scripture said. You didn't seek after him. He sought after you. Come on, is that right? He drew us to himself, and then somehow, and I don't understand it all, he made us desire him. We didn't go after God. He came after us. It says, no man seeketh after God, and no man means no woman, means no boy, means no girl. That's the scriptures. So he put a desire in us to want him in the first place. Well, no, you don't understand. I've always wanted to read my Bible. That's not true. That's not true. He created the desire in us to want to. Otherwise, we humans did it all, and God doesn't get any glory. Come on, is that right? Now, let me make a statement. You can ask God to change your desires and help your desires, even the things down this earth, even in the simple things. Now listen to me. 3 years ago, I went through a big, long, drawn-out depression. I mean, under the cover sheets, crying in the middle of the day, and it was like the Lord took away the strength of my mind. And brother, I want to tell you something. After you go through something really, really low and You think about all kinds of things, and I mean you get past or running away, and you get into, where am I going to run to? And you get past or where am I going to run to, and you just think, you know, they'd be better off without me. And I mean you just go down lower and lower and lower, and I'm not going to go into all that tonight, but I'll tell you what you do when you just get lower than you've ever been, and I mean just deep, low, call it depression, oppression, nothing, the bottom gets lower and lower, and you don't even know where bottom is. I'll tell you what you start doing when you start coming back out. Oh, Lord, today, would you just hold my mind together? Just hold my mind together. Oh, Lord, help me just not to walk through the day afraid. Because when you go that low, you lose hope. And when you lose hope, and I don't even, it's hard to even describe what it's like when you don't have hope. Especially when you once had hope. You lose confidence in yourself, all kinds of things. But I'm talking about, oh, Lord, please, hold my mind together and give me the desire to want to do it again. To want to plan again. When you lose hope, you don't want to plan anything. Your only thing you can do is live for the hour. If you can just get through that day, let alone what's going to happen tomorrow. Oh, Lord, give me the desire to want to plan again and go forward and press forward again. So listen to me. In those days, 3 years ago, I started to realize something. You can ask God for the simplest of desires, and He'll help you. I'm going to make this real practical, just as an illustration. Oh, and the latter part of September, the early part of October of this last year, 4 months ago, I was starting to slow down and get a little sluggish. I had too much weight on me. And this is not a weight loss clinic, but it was slowing me down. I had high blood pressure and all kinds of stuff. And I've worked out before, I've fasted before, I've done all that stuff before, but this time I did something different. I said, Holy Spirit, would you help me to lose some weight? Would you create in me a desire just to lose some weight? Whether it be through eating or working out or whatever it is, would you help me to create in me a desire to lose some weight? But my goal was not so I would look better as much as I would feel better. As I could do more for God. So, October, November, December, I've been praying, oh, Holy Spirit, give me the desire to lose this weight. And I haven't told anybody. But I'm telling you now because it still works. So, October, November, December, I dropped 30 pounds. Now, I'm sleeping 4 to 6 hours a night. That means I'm getting more time, 18 hours in a day, to do what I need to do for God and my family. Oh, I'm sure I've been irritated a couple times along the trail. But I can sometimes go to sleep for 3 hours and get up and ready to go. And it's because I'm not caring as much right now. Now, it's not a weight loss clinic. It's a desire, even in the simple things. If you knew what I prayed about in my thought life and my prayer life with God for simple desires in my family, in my home, in my marriage, you would be shocked. You would be, if I could open up and be as transparent, but I can't be that transparent tonight, but you'd be surprised at what I pray for. Some of y'all are having problems in different areas in your home and your family and your marriage. And if you just ask the Holy Spirit to get involved in that specific area, you'd be surprised what He could do with desire. I'm serious. You say, wait a minute, I can't bother God with that. He owns you. I'm talking about the little things. If you're a spender of a lot of money, and you say, man, I just gotta stop spending. I'm just spending too much. Lord, would you create in me a desire to be more prudent with my money spending? And create in me a desire not to want all those things. What's wrong with creating good desire? Now, don't think I'm some kind of health nut. I mean, you stop eating and you'll start losing some weight. But there's other ways you can do it too. But the desire has to be there. Would you agree? Oh, brother, any area of your life, I think God's interested in. Any area. You know what, guys? Why don't you ask your wife and get past this, well, you're always going to be that way, you can't change anyway. Don't believe that. My wife and I are still conforming to each other, still changing towards each other, still molding into one. What's wrong with saying to your husband, listen, could you work on this area?
And guys, don't get all defensive and say, well, you got your areas too. That's not what she said. She said, could you work on this area? Well, what do you want me to do? Change myself? Well, no, you can't. But would you ask God to change that area and change your desires? And maybe before you talk to him, sister, you ought to ask God to change his desire to even want to listen to you about it. You mean that can happen? Oh, yeah. I mean, there's just areas. That's taboo. You can't touch that. But why don't you pray and ask God to make it so you can touch it and then approach him or approach her and do it not on the actions and not on the thoughts, but do it in the area of desires and put the right desire in there. Now, I hope the Holy Spirit right now is saying, you can ask me this. Why'd you use the weight thing? Because it's something I needed. I needed it. I needed, for a number of reasons, to drop some weight. Now, I told my wife, she said, boy, if I were you, I'd go out and buy some new suits and stuff. I said, I'm not going to do that. This is only temporary. I may eat my way 4 notches on my belt back to where I normally was. And I may enjoy every minute of it. And then we'll go back into the next cycle again and learn something more about the Holy Spirit. I'm not going out and buy a bunch of new clothes. Somebody says, oh, man, I'll lose weight so I can go buy new clothes. I don't have the desire to buy new clothes. I just needed to drop some weight. Why? Because I could feel better so I could do more. So I wouldn't be so sluggish. So I could cross time zones and get there and be refreshed. Now see, if you walk with me in my shoes, upcoming, I'll cross some time zones again. And I've got to be there ready to go. And I can't be sluggish because I've got 35 more pounds on me than I need. So you know what you got to do? At night when the preacher says, hey, let's go out and get something to eat. You have to say, no, I got a rule. I don't eat after 6 o'clock now. Man, why are you doing that for? Well, I'm just trying to be obedient to the Holy Spirit in my life right now because I asked him to help me lose some weight and he put that rule in my life. It's a simple thing. You say, why? Because I used to go out and pig out. And wake up in the morning. You know what it's like. Maybe you don't. Some of you young people that are laughing. Some of you in your 20s and 30s are going, oh, oh, oh. Talk to me when you're 45. And you say, wait a minute, I'm not going to gain any weight. Talk to me when you're 45 and you go out and eat at 9 o'clock at night. Talk to me at 8 o'clock the next morning. Yeah, talk to me, big boy. Yours will change too. So the Holy Spirit gave it. But there was reasons for that. I can give more time, quality time, to everything going on in my life. And I can have a much better prayer life because I'm up many more hours between the hours of midnight and 6. Now, don't go out of here convicted. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit put in my heart and says, well, why don't you ask me? I thought, about that simple thing, he said, hey, I'm interested in the little thing. All right, then I'm going to ask you, Holy Spirit. But there's got to be a right motive and a right reason. Is that right? Absolutely. I'll tell you another reason. I've got a heel plate. I got a steel plate in my heel. The older I get, the more it hurts. So I thought, if that heel is not carrying as much weight, it'll be better off and won't pop and swell as much. I can't take that heel plate out. It's in there for life. But I tell you what, feeling a lot better now. Little things. See, there's all kinds of reasons. Now, what do you have in your life, brother and sister, that you never even thought about asking God to help you with and create that desire inside of you for that? And again, it could be raising a child. It could be, all right, it could be in a business relationship. It could be in ministry. I mean, right now, maybe the Holy Spirit said, that little thing right there, sister, that little thing right there, brother, that you're struggling with, been struggling with for a while, why don't you ask me to create a desire in you for good for that area? Now, say, wait a minute. You know what that is? That's a little miracle. It's a little personal miracle in my life that I give God glory for, that builds my faith in him. And if it builds faith, it's good. Would you agree with that statement? If I was counseling some people privately, I might share some of the things I've prayed about in my life but I don't want to do it publicly. And I'm talking about there are no bars and no limits. The Holy Spirit of God understands the creation of humans. Jesus Christ created humans. Would you agree with that? He understands what's inside of us. You can take any little thing to Him. You see, we talk about, well, let's get rid of the lust, and let's get rid of the anger, and let's get rid of the temper. All those are good things to get rid of. But let's desire some things like, you know, Lord, I desire. No, I don't desire the way I should. Would you create a desire in me to be more kind? To want to be more kind? Would you put a desire in me to want to show and demonstrate more mercy? To have more patience with people? Would you give me a desire to be more patient with people? I tell you what, Lord, would you put a desire in me that takes away the criticism I always see and feel towards people and helps me to have the benefit of the doubt for people rather than just automatically judge them wrong? I mean, little things about our attitude towards other people, God can create that, look up here, goodwill. The goodwill towards men. I believe that with all my heart. But it starts with salvation. Would you agree with that? Sister, brother, it starts without salvation. Is that right? If you're in here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you say, man, how do you keep coming to church? How do you keep, I mean, you guys come all the time and you give money and do this. How do you do that? He puts a desire in us to do it. How do you give up this and how do you give up that? And don't say, well, you just got to work at it. No, you say, the Holy Spirit can put that desire in you if you'll let Him. How do you do this or how do you do that? And there's still areas that I want to do better, but I realize this, I can't, but He can put a desire in me to want to. But it starts with salvation. I am not a good soul winner. I want to be a good soul winner, but I don't know if that desire is really in me. I know I'm supposed to be a better witness, but honestly, the desire to do it is not there. Holy Spirit, please put that desire in me. Don't just think, well, you know, that's just that person's personality. There can be shy, meek, reserved, if you would, somewhat recluse people who get saved that become soul winners. Now you tell me what happens inside of them. God puts a Holy Spirit desire inside of them to want to do it. And they'll tell you it's totally out of character for them. But God can put a good desire in us to want to do it. Now He can do that in our personal lives, in our public lives, in things that, and may I say this to you, as we go through life, man, what you needed at 20, you need something different at 40, and what you need at 40, you need something a little bit different at 50, and what you need at 50, you need a little something different at 60. But He can still change those wills and those wants and those desires. Not only take away the bad, but here's the point. Why don't we pray for some good ones starting this year? The little things that you didn't want to bother God with, go ahead and bother Him. And you'll be rejoicing when you realize He answered you. And He'll do it subtly. Listen to me. Subtly. And when you say subtly, like you won't even know it, He'll take away the desire of some of those wrong things. Look up here. And subtly, you won't even know it, He'll put some desires in you. And you'll think later, where did that desire come from to want to do that? Man, I didn't want to do that. Ladies, listen to me. When you see your husband's desires going a certain direction in the Lord the right way, you better ask God to help you with yours. You say, what do you mean? You see your husband starting to desire a good work, missionary, something like that, you better ask God to start putting the desires in your heart. You say, oh, looks like, Lord, my husband wants to go to the mission field and I don't desire that at all. I don't want to leave this country. I don't want to leave this culture. I don't want to do that. So, Lord, I'm asking you, would you start working on my desires because I'm His wife? He wants to do it, it looks like. And you know, in my heart, honestly, I don't want to discourage Him, but I don't want to go. But I realize this, I can't just go with this attitude. Well, I could go and be obedient and do my duty and be servitude and do all that and be miserable, but I'd rather go with joy. I'd rather do this thing with joy. My husband wants to go out and live by faith. I don't know if I want to live by faith that way. He wants to quit his job and go do this. Oh, God, give me the desire to want to do this like He wants to do this. Little things like that will and do work. But the first desire, wouldn't you agree, is the Holy Spirit drawing us to the Savior. And then after that, drawing us closer and closer to what? To sprinkle away that evil conscience and go in that desire and put the right desires in there. Tonight, as we start this new year, I'll guarantee you right now, in a crowd like this,
70-75% of you have something in your heart and mind right now that says, you know what? I don't know if I've ever asked God to put that desire in me for that area that I'm having a struggle with. Take out that wrong desire and put in that new desire. I just didn't think you could. I didn't think, you know, you asked him about those little things. Why don't you ask him? Not just once. Come to him with importunity. Again and again and again and again. And by the way, you say, now how's that work? Friend, how much more shall I give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? But wait a minute, now wait a minute. I don't have a desire to even pray for that, but I'm going to pray for it anyway. No, tomorrow I'm going to pray for it again. I know I'm supposed to want to do that, but I don't want to do it. I'm afraid if I do pray it, he'll make me want to do it, so I'm praying again for it. Now, you keep doing that, and after a while, prayer will get easier because the desire will slowly slip into you, and it'll be like, I want to pray for this now. It's not there yet, but I want to pray for it now. Now it's working. Now the right desires are getting in there. Let's all stand. This is not a course in psychology. This is Bible. In fact, brethren, look up here just for a moment while you're standing. Most of that self-help stuff is only temporary. It's got to be Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed, altars open. Husband and wife want to pray together, family to pray together, individual singles. It's the first of the year, first altar call publicly of a new year. That'd be a good night to take a little time and pray. Use the pew if you want. Use the altar if you want. With your heads bowed, everybody, please, and your eyes closed, please. Oh, God, put in me the right, this little desire. Never thought to bring that to you, Lord. But I'm going to ask you to put that right desire in me. Head bowed, eyes closed. I don't know if I'm saved yet. I don't know if I've received Christ as my personal Savior yet. You know, I guess I'm here in church, so that must mean I'm looking for something right now, even tonight. You could ask God to allow you to be drawn to him, to himself. And by the way, he's already been working on you. That's why you're here tonight. If you'd allow me the privilege to pray for you tonight with your heads bowed and eyes closed, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure of my salvation. And I know it's God doing something in me. I just don't have it quite all understood yet. He'll take you just as you are. And after you receive him, then he'll put the desire in you to want to clean up. Certainly there is repentance involved. But brethren, you can't clean yourself up. You can clean some of your actions up. You can clean up some of your thoughts. But the desires are what God can clean up. If you're not sure of your salvation yet, would you slip up your hand and say, let me, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me, Pastor, tonight. Pray for me. Teens, young people, please, right now, work on some of your, oh God, put the right desires to want to do this. To want to do this. To want to stay at this and to do this. Whatever it is. Let the instruments play. Let's do God's will tonight. Do God's will. Do God's will. Little things. Not just for yourself, but maybe for a family member, or maybe for a husband or a wife, maybe for a friend, maybe for a ministry fellow servant. Nothing wrong with children praying for parents. Oh God, put that right desire.